This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Mankind's horrific history is a testimony of his inability to manage his relationships. Since the time when Cain murdered Abel, humanity has followed the pattern year after year, decade upon decade, century after century, for multiple millennia. Human suffering and death is mankind's sordid legacy. Why has peace been so elusive? And since man has failed so miserably to achieve worldwide harmony, how will it finally be accomplished? Your Bible claims there will be a kingdom of God on earth. How can that be? Stay with us as we attempt to help you understand how this will happen from the pages of your Bible. In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I want to look at today is the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of debate about what the kingdom of God is. For example, some believe that the kingdom of God is in heaven and our reward is there in heaven. Now, this idea comes from the fact that in the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of God is referred to there as the kingdom of heaven. So a lot of people get this idea in their mind that we're going to go into the kingdom and that that kingdom is in heaven. Now, it's just synonymous with kingdom of God. And of course, God's kingdom is in heaven right now. But the Bible is clear that that kingdom is going to come to this earth. Now, I want to look at this from this particular standpoint. I was at a funeral within the last year, and the priest who was officiating at the funeral and was eulogizing the person who was departed stated that this person was with God at that particular moment, that they were communing with God right now in a conscious sort of way. I don't believe the Bible says that. I believe the Bible says something different, that we have to wait for that kingdom of God to come to us, which it will. But we are not going to go to it in heaven. Let me show you a couple scriptures that point this out, and then we'll look further at this concept. John chapter 3 and verse 13. I was once in a Bible study, and I brought up this scripture, and I remember someone who was a regular churchgoer looked at this scripture and was taken aback by it. Notice what it says, John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. This is telling us that only Jesus Christ has gone to heaven. He's the only one from heaven that has also visited this earth in a certain type of way and become man. This says the opposite of what many people believe, that the reward for those who are converted Christians is in heaven and they're going to go there to get it. The Bible teaches that that reward is going to come to us on this earth, and we'll be looking at that. But let me make this clear. Let me show you another scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them handy, over to Acts chapter 2. And you can read about David in the Old Testament, and you can read about David in the New. And it says that David's going to be a king in that future kingdom of God. Now notice in Acts 2 and verse 29, it says the following, Acts 2:29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." Now drop down to verse 34 so it's perfectly clear. It says in verse 34, Acts 2, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." David's going to be in God's future kingdom. But that kingdom is not in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. It's in heaven right now, but it's coming to this earth. Now, what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a CD. The literature I'd like to offer you today is titled, Is the Kingdom of God Here Now? Jesus Christ came proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He also said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are the church and the kingdom the same thing? Was the kingdom of God inaugurated on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ? Has Christ's kingdom continued to expand until the present, or is the kingdom yet to be established? Get this booklet to learn more about that particular topic. We'd also like to offer you a free CD. The CD is titled, The Kingdom is at Hand. Please get this CD and this booklet. They are both free of charge. All you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Also, you can get information on our webcast sermon each Saturday by going to our website, www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. Again, thanks for joining us on today's program. We're looking at the kingdom of God as our topic for today's program. We talked a little bit in the first segment about how there's some confusion about what the kingdom of God is. Some believe the kingdom of God is in heaven, which it is, and they get that confused with the statement, the kingdom of heaven, and they think that our reward is in heaven and we're going to go there. But the Bible is clear that that kingdom of God is going to come to this earth. And I want to give you one more scripture that addresses the fact that that kingdom is coming to this earth. If you've got your Bibles handy, take a look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5 and verse 10 says the following, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." It says we're going to reign in that kingdom on the earth. I think that's pretty clear right from the pages of your Bible. Now, I know when you look at the various scriptures in the Bible on the kingdom of God, there can be some varying opinions when you look at the scriptures. Because on the one hand, some of the scriptures about the kingdom of God seem to be saying that the kingdom is here and it's now. Other scriptures about the kingdom of God seem to be saying that the kingdom is coming and it's future. And there are some that believe that the kingdom is here, but it's slowly, slowly overcoming the world and is going to envelop the entire world at some point in the future. Now, scholars call this debate the now, not yet paradox. So the now being the scriptures that seem to speak of the kingdom happening now, and the not yet, the scriptures that seem to be speaking of the kingdom happening in the future or not yet occurring right now. I want to look at the various scriptures that address these views. We won't get to all these scriptures. We're only going to look at a handful of them, but at least it will give the idea as to why some people have these varying views. But as we look at them, I, of course, am of the opinion that the not yet is the truth of the matter, that God's kingdom will come to this earth in the future. But I can see where some think about the kingdom as being here now, because those who are converted get God's Holy Spirit, and they have that sense of the kingdom on this earth because God's mind is working with their spirit to convert them and make them into the person that God wants them to be. But let's look a little bit more deeply at this. Let's look at some scriptures that address these views and try to explain them and see what they say. The first scripture I want to take a look at is over in the book of Mark. This is in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading there in verse 1. Now notice this in Mark 9 and verse 1. It says this, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Now let's just stop there for a moment. Just that verse gives me the impression that Jesus is telling them the kingdom's going to be seen right then and there. So obviously they would think the kingdom was going to be on the earth if you just read that one scripture. But notice what comes right after that scripture. That's very important. We need to get the whole context of scripture, folks. Notice verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. That's a laundry man, for those of you that don't get the old King James here. Verse 4, and there appeared unto them Elias, or Elijah, and with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. What happened here? This was a vision of the future kingdom. We know from Scripture Elijah and Moses are going to be in that future kingdom. Jesus told them in verse 1, you guys who are standing here today are going to see the kingdom. And then what happens next in Scripture? He shows them a vision where he's with Elijah and Moses. That was a vision of the future kingdom. Notice that they went away all of a sudden. That kingdom did not remain. That kingdom is still future. It's going to come to this earth. Elijah and Moses will be in that kingdom. Another scripture I'd like to take a closer look at, that those who are of the opinion that the kingdom is now will use, is over in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Now, I'm not going to read all of Acts 1 and 2, but we know what the scenario is there. What's occurring is the Holy Spirit is coming upon the New Testament church for the first time. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, and what happens? They begin to speak in other tongues. Now, that was a miracle, because they couldn't speak in those other tongues, and all of a sudden, they can speak in another foreign language and get a point across to others who were there who had other languages that they knew. So this manifestation of God's Holy Spirit led some who were there to believe that this was the beginning of God's kingdom on earth. And I can understand that. Many of those in the early church believed that God's kingdom was beginning at that time when Jesus was on earth, as soon as Jesus was resurrected. They thought the kingdom was now there. But we know 2,000 years later that that kingdom was not that there yet. That kingdom is still to come. But notice in Acts 2 and verse 17, let me read it to you. It says this, he's speaking of the prophet Joel. You see that in verse 16. He says that the prophet Joel said this, verse 17, Acts 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So I can understand why they believed this was the kingdom now. But it was not the kingdom now. It was only a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is going to be manifested in a greater way when Christ returns that second time and sets up his kingdom upon this earth. So that's another scripture for those who believe that the kingdom is now, that it started then, and that kingdom has begun to slowly grow upon the earth. Now, when we think of that concept of the slow growth of the kingdom on the earth, that it started 2,000 years ago, look around at this world today, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think this is the kingdom of God on earth? I beg to differ. Read your newspaper and you will know this is not the kingdom of God on earth. It is far from it, folks. Your Bible, within the books of the prophets, speaks of a totally transformed world. The world outside is not that world, ladies and gentlemen. This is Satan's world. He's the god of this world right now, and God is allowing it until his true kingdom is ushered in. Let me show you another scripture over in Matthew 4:17 for the proponents of the kingdom now concept. Over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, notice what Jesus said. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we've already dealt with what the kingdom of heaven means. It merely means the kingdom of God. Those terms are used interchangeably. But Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now, if Jesus was here and he said that, you'd think the kingdom was right there, right then and there. I get that idea as to why people think it's now, but let's investigate this. Let's think about this for a moment. Jesus was the king of that future coming kingdom. He was there on the earth. So in a sense, that kingdom, in the sense that that king was there, was at hand. It was right before them. But what did Jesus preach? He preached repentance, and he preached the coming of that future kingdom. When Jesus began to preach about repentance, he was telling people how they could get God's Holy Spirit. And if they get God's Holy Spirit, they have a sense of that kingdom in their mind. They're ambassadors for that future kingdom, but that kingdom is not yet here. This scripture is not enough to believe that the kingdom is now here in its full manifestation. It most certainly is not, and we know that by reading the prophets and what they had to say about the kingdom. But let's now look at the other side of that paradox. Let's look at the kingdom coming to us, that future kingdom from God coming to this earth. And I want to look at a few scriptures on that. The first one I want to look at is over in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 18. It says, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Now that's a really small seed, folks, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again, verse 20, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven which a woman took and hid. Notice this is hidden. She hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, let's think about these scriptures for a moment, because some proponents of the idea that the kingdom is slowly growing over time will cite these scriptures. And they'll say, well, you put the mustard seed in the ground and slowly it grows and becomes the tree. You put the leaven in the bread and slowly it grows and puffs up. But wait a minute. Do these scriptures talk about that growth process? No. They talk about the small seed becoming a big tree. They talk about the hidden leaven in that small patch of dough becoming what? Growing? No. Suddenly becoming the full bread that we get in a loaf. So I believe these scriptures are actually dealing with that future coming of the kingdom. That it's in this small seed-like form, which could be the minds of those who are called of God on the earth. And then suddenly, it's there in its full manifestation, like that tree, like that bread that is bursting forth at the seams. So these are a couple scriptures that those who are proponents of the not yet paradox side look at it, and those who say that it's a growth thing as far as the kingdom is concerned. But let's get more explicit here with a couple more scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. See if you can look at this in any other way than the not yet paradigm. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Listen to what it says. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let me repeat it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now that's pretty explicit, folks. Are you flesh and blood? Even if you believe in Jesus Christ, even if you've repented and are following God, you're still flesh and blood, as am I. We're not in the full manifestation of God's kingdom yet. That's a future occurrence that the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 makes really clear if you read the whole chapter. So please read that whole chapter. I don't have time to do that here. But I do have time to get to another scripture. I'd like you to take a look with me at Matthew chapter 25, the idea that the kingdom is not yet here. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to pick it up there in verse 31 of Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31 says this, When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, what's it talking about here? The second coming of Christ. Let's be clear, that's what it's talking about. There's no way of getting around that. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now again, it doesn't give us all the details of the coming and all the explicit details, but the general concept here is that Jesus is going to return to this earth. There's finally going to be judgment, and there will come judgment later at the end of the 1,000 years also. But at the beginning, Jesus is talking here about letting people into His kingdom, and that is when the kingdom comes in its full manifestation upon this earth, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what your Bible is making very clear in this particular scripture. Now, another scripture I'd like to turn to, there are many parables in your Bible that deal with the kingdom of God and help explain what this kingdom is all about. I just want to relate one of them to you. It's over in Luke chapter 19. So let's go ahead and turn there if you have your Bibles handy at home. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 12. And here's what it says there, Luke 19, 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So just get that in your mind's eye for a moment. This nobleman is going away to get this kingdom and then return with it. And you can see that in other parables. But where did Jesus go when He left this earth? He went back to heaven, right? He's the nobleman in this parable. He goes back to heaven to do what? To get that kingdom, and He's going to bring it to this earth at some point in the future. It is not here in its totality. It may be in the minds of Christians. It may be in the minds of believers. And maybe conceptualizing what that will be because of the Holy Spirit's influence on their minds. But it is not here in its full manifestation. But as you read through here, you notice that the servants who were at work for this nobleman were rewarded for that work that they were doing. And that's something we need to keep in mind, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ today. What does Jesus want us to be doing on this earth before His kingdom comes? Well, He wants us to be at work on this earth. He wants us to be preaching and teaching the truth of God's gospel of that coming kingdom to others on this earth. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 tells us, make disciples of all nations, baptize all these people, because God wants them to be in His future coming kingdom. Jesus also did good works. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He took care of the lame and those with leprosy. And we should be doing the same as we await that kingdom on this earth. We should be helping out the destitute, the disadvantaged, and doing those works that Jesus would have us to do. That's what we should be mindful of as we await that coming kingdom of God upon this earth. Another scripture I'd like to address in this whole discussion is over in Matthew chapter 6 as we start to wind down on today's program. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read there verse 9. Now, you're all familiar with this prayer, I know. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now, get this. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, listen to that again. He's praying for what? He's telling us to pray for what? He's telling us to pray for that kingdom to come. If He told us to pray for that kingdom to come, is that kingdom here yet? Of course it's not. Look at the world. Read the newspaper. God's kingdom is not on this earth yet. But it will come, and we should pray that it comes soon. Because this world is crazy, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know. But right here we get, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That will of God is not being done. Christians are trying to do it, but again, they fail at it too. But that will that is being done in heaven, he wants it to come to this earth. It's not here yet. We've got to pray for it and look for it, and it will come. That kingdom will come to this earth. Now, we've been looking at this concept of the kingdom of God today, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you have a better understanding of what the kingdom of God means. Again, we talked about the fact that when you read kingdom of heaven in the Bible, it is synonymous with kingdom of God. And that kingdom is in heaven right now, but as we showed you with certain scriptures, we're not going to that kingdom in heaven. That kingdom of God is going to be coming to us on this earth. The Bible is very clear on that. We haven't had time to get to all the scriptures that address that. But if you read through the various prophets, if you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and the other prophets, they make it very clear that that future kingdom is going to come to this earth, and it will be a complete transformation of the ways upon this earth. This world is not getting better. In fact, those of you who think the kingdom is slowly growing, Islam is outpacing Christianity in growth. Please, ladies and gentlemen, get that booklet we talked about earlier, that booklet about the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God here now? It gives you more details than I can give you on today's program. Also, please order that free CD, The Kingdom is at Hand. To do that, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Again, those are free of charge. We don't ask anything of you. We give it freely to you because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And that's a little bit different than some of the others you may be seeing on TV. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us on today's edition of The Armor of God. The kingdom of God is coming to this earth. There's no doubt about it. You want to be in that kingdom. Please read your Bible, study that word, follow Jesus Christ, repent, and get baptized. Thanks again for joining us on another edition of The Armor of God. We'll see you again. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.